Hello.
It's happening.
It's happening. We're doing this. Oh my God, we're doing this on our own. I feel like a dog who just slipped out of their collar in the park and is looking around like, what do I do now? Do I run? Do I stand here? Do I? Hello and welcome to You Should See the Other Guy, the podcast where we typically watch a movie featuring a love triangle and tell you why whichever point of the love triangle did the choosing of another point did so poorly. But today, we are going to talk about a whole season of a TV show. I am Sadie Collins.
I'm Jen. And I'm Sadie. And
We're losing our minds. We do not have the third point of our triangle, our dearly beloved Samantha, with us today. Dearly beloved was a poor choice there. That made it sound like she's dead. She is
rest
not
in
dead.
Peace. She's off communing with a rock.
Yes, she had to go visit the rock that tells her what to do. So to tide you all over, Sadie and I are here to talk about 2022 HBO masterpiece, Our Flag Means Death.
Jen, thank you so much for stepping into my office on this bright and sunny Sunday morning to talk about the show, because I have become obsessed. Should we just kind of do a quick summary? It's
yes.
Surprisingly much more historically accurate than I think I had any understanding. Like, almost all of this kind of happened in real life.
I feel
which
like
is
I've
crazy.
Learned so much about pirates since watching this show, just from what people have linked on Twitter.
As most people who grew up with their formative years of Pirates of the Caribbean, I and also is queer. I had a major gay pirate phase.
The pie chart there is a circle.
I had a major gay pirates phase. And so I really got into reading the history about it. And so I was familiar with this story because it is very this seems very queer in a lot of ways. But I didn't quite know the extent or details of it. And anyway, it's so good. So basically, this is an HBO Max comedy. It was created by David Jenkins. It was, I believe, executive produced by Taika Waititi, and it has a really diverse writer's room. So I was really excited when it came out. And I just kind of put it off, watching it, because I didn't know that it would be gay, you know? So I was just oh, it's a pirate show.
It kind of slow burned up to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it really doesn't start cooking until episode 4, which we'll get into that in a bit.
Yes.
But it is about Stede Bonnet, who was a real historical figure. He was a rich person. He was a lord, a landowner. I believe he was in Barbados in the English colony. And he had a wife and he had two children. And when he was in his 30s, I believe, late 20s, 30s, he just up and decided to leave his family and go live a life of piracy on the high seas. And he became known as the Gentleman Pirate. And so he is our main character in this story. He's played by Rhys Darby, who is a very, very funny New Zealand comedian. And he's just kind of a little bit of a bumbling idiot, but is also fantastic. I love him.
Hashtag relatable.
He's trying to make a name for himself as the gentleman pirate. So he has a twink named Lucius on his crew, who is basically his only job is to recount the stories of the gentleman pirate. But he's really bad at being a stereotypical pirate. He will try to mug people or rob people, loot them. And he's very nice about it. And he's just oh, can I have this? I'm going to take this. Thank you. He's very, not quite as vicious as you probably need to be in order to be successful, pirating. So he has a ragtag crew who kind of want to, stage a mutiny in the first episode because they feel like he's very incompetent. And there's a host of kooky characters. There's a very, very, let's see. I'm trying to describe Jim. They are, let's see. So they start out and Jim is mute and, they kind of have a friends to lovers relationship going on with one of the other crewmates, Oluwande, who is also very hot. And so that's like a side plot of like Jim, who is one of the best representations of like a non-binary person and also like a historical non-binary person. And it also is, you know, Jim is played by, oh my God, what is the name?
Vico Ortiz, I think. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Who again, is a non-binary actor.
Very hot. Hot in the show, also but then hot. When I saw like a contemporary picture of them, I was like, woof. Like, yeah, good looking human
oh,
being.
Oh, yeah. So fantastic. And so it's basically Steed going on some kooky adventures with this group of pirates. Then in episode 4, we are introduced to Blackbeard, who is played by Taika Waititi, and also known as Edward. So his real name is Edward. And what ensues is like one of the best like rom-coms that I've seen in a long time between Blackbeard and Steed. So I guess spoiler.
Oh yeah.
That, you know, they're
spoilers ahoy, mateys.
Their relationship just kind of grows in such a fascinating way because Steed, who like he's only killed one person so far, and that was fully like an accident. Like he meant to like knock someone out, and then they landed on their sword and like stabbed themselves right through the eye socket, which a classic, you know, it could happen to the best of us. And he's really torn up about that one accidental death. Like Steed is just kind of not really meant for piracy, really. Or so he thinks, and so everyone else thinks. Like he has a really frilly, overstocked wardrobe. He has an entire library, which no one has any qualms of telling him is very like stupid and unnecessary and ridiculous, to have a full library at sea because it's such a waste of space. But Blackbeard climbs on board with his crew and kind of goes through the place with his right hand, Izzy Hand, who is very much like your stereotypical rough around the edges pirate. Like he's intense. He wants to just kill Steed and move on. But Blackbeard is really interested by Steed. When Blackbeard first meets him, Steed had just been stabbed, which is funny. And so he's busy recovering. He does, like no less than 3 times, I think. And so while Steed is recovering, Blackbeard is just walking around, like looking at all of this stuff. And he's really becomes fascinated by Steed. And when Steed first wakes up, he doesn't introduce himself as Blackbeard. He introduces himself as Ed. And, you know, they just kind of blossom into this really chemistry-filled friendship between the two of them, and Blackbeard decides to stay long term with Steed. And he tells Izzy Hand that the reason why he's staying is so that he can betray Steed and like take his identity and kill him. But it becomes very quickly understood to Izzy that that is not Blackbeard's intention.
Poor Izzy.
That Blackbeard is long suffering. I'll talk about him once we wrap up this summary, because I have a lot of theories about Izzy. But Blackbeard is just really enjoying his time with Steed and is falling in love with Steed. And so we get a lot of interesting backstory about the two of them. And I believe it was episode 4, the title is called Discomfort in a Married State, which is something that Steed Bonnet actually wrote in his journal. as kind of like the reason why he left, which we can read that in a lot of ways. Like we can read that as just like he's bored. But I and I'm sure David Jenkins read it as like discomfort in the married state of being with someone who's not a man or just a woman.
Enforced heterosexuality.
And so we get a lot of interesting backstory of Steed, who has kind of been dismissed and ridiculed for most of his life for being who he is. He's a very kind of flamboyant character. He is very kind to people and he's very well read. He loves books and he loves silk and all of these kind of frivolous things. And so his
he's a bit of a clothes horse.
I love it. He would be such a fashionista in 2022.
Oh my God, yes.
But he is really just, you know, no one understands him really. And so he is uncomfortable in his marriage with Mary, and Mary doesn't really like him or see him. And it's really a loveless relationship. And so that's why he leaves. And on Blackbeard's side, he was raised in a lower class household. His mom was abused by his dad and she was a maid. And so she would, you know, there's like a scene where she is showing him a piece of cloth and he's like, why can't we have this? And she's like, our kind of people don't have these things. And he initially, I don't know, there's like, you know, a lot of baggage with his dad because his dad was very abusive. And he has just kind of crafted this persona of Blackbeard, but it's a defense mechanism, which I think is very interesting. Am I talking too much? Would you like to?
No, I'm like listening in rapt fascination.
And so they kind of come together and they like understand each other and they actually enjoy each other's company. And an important note is that Steed enjoys Ed's company. A lot of the people in Ed's life up till now only enjoyed Blackbeard's company. And I think Izzy is a great example of that.
Yeah.
But Steed likes Ed. Like he likes to talk to him. He is tender with him. He cares what he has to say. So anyway, this all happens. They get together. The twink Lucius also gets with another crewmate on board, Black Pete. Love is abounding. There's a very sticky run-in between Steed and one of Blackbeard's exes, Jack, who just seems like a major asshole.
He was terrible. That was the only point when I could not relate to Steed's mature nonviolence was when Jack killed Button's seagull friend.
Oh my God, Carl.
I would have murdered Carl. We still miss you.
Yeah. And I think, like, even so, just him being like, get the fuck off my boat was still like very
intense for Steed. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait till the morning. Get the fuck off my boat. He said it more politely than that, but that was what he said.
And it's very clear that Blackbeard, you know, that Ed and Jack's relationship was nothing like his and Steed's. Like, it seems very much just like, you know, I'm going to fuck Blackbeard.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was like confirmed. Like, I'm going to be a bro about it. It was like canonically stated on screen that they had fucked before. But yeah, it was not the tender, appreciative, loving kind of relationship that he has with Steed.
Yeah. And so there's a point where Jack leaves and Blackbeard feels like he has to go with him because there's just kind of this like uncomfortable, I don't know. He feels like he needs to be with Jack. Like that's the life that he's supposed to lead.
He doesn't deserve Steed. He feels really tortured by his past sometimes. And he thinks that he doesn't deserve good things. And yeah. So
yeah,
it's very sad. We're all crying at that point.
Yeah, if he, I feel like he thought that Steed was the exception and not the rule, really. So, like, he, you know, Steed was kind of this vacation, but it's not something that he could permanently have. And so he goes off to a deserted island that's, like, still extremely close to the boat. And so Steed is acting very heartbroken and is, like, closely watching them on this deserted island, and to the worry of all of the other crewmates on board. And then Blackbeard realizes that Jack actually set Steed up, and the British army is going to come and capture Steed and kill him. And Blackbeard makes a decision that he's going to stay with Steed. So he comes back up on the boat. The chain by Fleetwood Mac starts playing. Yes. It's, everything is happening all at once. So anyway, Blackbeard essentially calls Act of Grace, which basically means that he will serve under the British flag for like 20 years or whatever it is.
God. Yeah, you could get out of being executed by the British Army if you invoke this act of grace, but that means you become like a very long-term indentured servant, like a to the British Navy.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, if Steed had not been in the picture, that 100% would not have happened.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah. And so that kind of plays in a little bit later of like Steed's guilt at this point, because, you know, from his end, he, you know, Ed feels sorry for him. And so he turned himself in to save Steed, because, you know, Steed himself couldn't call an act of grace because he's not really that big of a catch. But Blackbeard is a big enough catch. And so Steed's, it was kind of a twofer.
He gets all guilty and isn't that posturing, like, I deserve this, like, kill me now, you know? And Ed is like, no, like, this weird, beautiful little man is not going to be removed from the universe whilst I draw breath.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what Steed's outlook on it was like, I have done something bad, you know, and I have trapped Ed in this. And like, I've, you know, Ed has given up. Whereas Ed looks at it as, you know, I'm with Steed and that's really all that I want at this point. And, you know, I'm happy to just be with you. I want to be with you. Whereas Steed is like, still in that mindset of like Blackbeard needs to be Blackbeard.
He's all like overcome with guilt about other things. And he feels like he's trapping him and ruining his life. Like he feels like he has with his family and everything else. Oh, yeah. And Taika Waititi's face when like it becomes super explicit, like when they kiss and when he asks Steed to run away with him. Oh, just. What a look. The way his whole face lights up.
So, like, yeah, while they're prisoners, Ed, you know, Blackbeard explains that what makes him happy is Steed, and then they kiss, and it's kind of this, like, resolution of all of this romantic tension and kind of solidifying to the both of them that this connection that they're feeling is requited and is romantic in nature. And so then Ed is just like, okay, we're going to escape. Like, I'll set up a whole situation and we can escape at dawn. And Steed is like, okay. But you can tell Steed is nervous. And I think that there's still that, like, niggling sense in the back of his head that he has kind of trapped Ed and that Ed is feeling, like, pity for him, you know? Yeah. Like, Steed can't really go after what he wants. And that is solidified when this one, there was a whole backstory. There are some twins. The guy that Steed accidentally killed at the beginning actually is a twin brother. Yeah, in the Royal and Navy. And so that guy gets Steed up before Steed can make it to the boat and where Blackbeard is waiting for him. And this badminton guy, he's just like, you crippled the greatest pirate that's ever been known, and you're, you know, such a fucking idiot and all this stuff. And just basically like reaffirming all of these negative thoughts that Steed feels about himself. And you know, that's kind of like the running theme of the show, is that both Steed and Blackbeard have these like really negative opinions of themselves, whereas they view the other one as like the most perfect the human ultimate. Being that has ever existed. And so Steed is like, oh my God, you're right. And then he accidentally kills that twin as well, this time with a gunshot, which is just so funny.
The accidental murderer.
And he does a very rom-com heroine thing, which is that he runs away and he leaves his love interest, Blackbeard, waiting for him at the dock, and he never shows up. And it's very sad.
My heart is still in two pieces.
And so in the finale, right, a lot of things happen. So Ed does make it back to the ship. He does not want to talk about it. And Steed very...
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, Ed makes it back
to the ship.
They kind
of both go back to their families, don't they, Sadie? Because Steed thinks he's going to go back to his family and make things right, but they are thriving in his absence. His children are fucking pissed that he just abandoned them, but his wife is like, hell yeah, we never got along anyway. Like, no offense to Steed, but my life as a widow is fantastic. And then Ed goes back to being Blackbeard in just the most heartbreaking. He put himself out there and he was vulnerable and he was Ed and he was spurned. So
yeah,
he goes back into his Blackbeard persona. The only person that is happy about this is Izzy Hands.
Mm-hmm. And because he goes back and he is Ed for a while. Like, he's kind of enters into this depressed state. He wears one of Steed's robes around the ship. He's very sad. And then Izzy really just, I think, does some really deep damage in that moment and kind of causes a psychotic break where he's just like, no one wants Ed and all of this stuff. And he's like, God. Just this terrible stuff that he says. And it does kind of cause a mental breakdown in Ed. So Ed goes full Blackbeard, full mental breakdown. He pushes poor Lucius off the ship because Lucius kind of represents – Lucius is the closest to Steed. Like, you know, he's the one who's always with Steed. He probably represents Steed the most. And
he's the scribe.
He's also the one
who, writing down like Steed's exploits of derring do and whatever. And for sure, he's the one who has the record of Ed and Steed's whole love story in that book he carries around.
And he's the one who's like probably the most like, he was the one who was really into them getting together. And so like, he was the one who was kind of offering Ed advice earlier on in the show, and just kind of like, I don't know, he kind of represents Ed and Steed's relationship to Ed. And so Ed throws him overboard. I have some alternative theories that we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, those are, he tries to kill Lucius, throws him overboard, and cuts off Izzy's toe, feeds it to him, and Izzy's really into it. And then on the flip side, we have Steed, who comes back to his family. His family are like, why the fuck are you here? Like, Mary has really vibed in his absence. She loves being a widow. She has fallen in love with her painting instructor, Doug. And like, Steed realizes like, this is not where I belong. And so they have him and Mary have come to an agreement and actually probably become the closest that they've ever been. And like, actually become like friends, because she does try to kill him in his sleep. Happens again to the best of us. And he's like, why'd you do that? And she's like, why the fuck did you come back? And then he asks her what it's like to be in love with Doug. And she describes that. And he's like, you know what? Damn, I am actually in love. Wow. And she's like, what's her name? And he's like, his name is Ed. And she's like, yeah. And so they fake Steed's death once and for all in a very elaborate portrayal of fuckery, as Ed likes to call it. And then Steed boards onto like a little dinghy. Oh, and it's also worth mentioning that Ed has also marooned all of Steed's crew, except for Jim.
He keeps Frenchie, and very cool, and Jim, because Jim is a fucking badass pirate and would be an asset to any pirate crew.
Yeah, Jim is the only competent one. But I also think that it's a testament to how much Ed is kind of lost in the sauce, as it were. Because like, if you thought even for a second, then you would realize like, Jim is in love with Oluwande. Jim and Oluwande are in a relationship. I have marooned Oluwande. So the likelihood that Jim will try to kill me would be very high.
Pretty up there. Jim is a vengeful person. Yeah. Oh, God. And of course, so all three of our primary couples are split up because Pete is also marooned on the island and Ed threw Lucius overboard. So.
Yeah. To fate unknown.
Yeah.
So.
God, he's got to grab a piece of driftwood or something.
So the last, one of the last scenes that we get is Steed arriving in his dinghy to his marooned crew. So it's implied that he's going to try to go after Ed, right? Ed, meanwhile, again, full mental breakdown, sobbing in private, has created the actual flag that Blackbeard had, but also an incredibly powerful portrayal of a breakup doodle.
Oh my God. It just occurred to me that is the entire reason. Cause I was like, what if he kept Frenchie on as well to sew? He kept him on just to sew that broken heart, getting stabbed flag edition and add it to his flag. Oh my God. Like the drama, the emo-ness of it all.
I know. It's so good. And Ed had this little, the little red scarf. Jen, how could I have forgotten?
I was like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. So he had this little red scrap of scarf that his mom had, you know, given to him when he was young from, you know, she had kind of like nicked it from like one of the houses that she worked at.
The piece of cloth that he was in.
Oh. Yeah, it was like this red silk. And, you know, because people have been telling him, like, you don't deserve fine things, you know. I think that there was one guy that he later skinned and killed who was like, you know, a painted donkey is still a donkey or something.
Yeah.
Something stupid and terrible and awful. And so Steed is the only one who's like, yeah, you rock that. Like, you look good in silk. And like,
oh,
you know, he doesn't really think of it like that.
Fellow appreciator of fine fabrics. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And so then in the last episode, he like throws the silk scarf overboard, kind of this last, like, his last tether to his humanity, to Edward, is gone.
It was,
so Steed is going to have his work cut out for him when he eventually finds Ed again. So end scene. That's where we end season one.
Cruelly, they completely rip all of our hearts apart. And then they're like, by the way, we haven't even gotten renewed for a second season yet. And
there's... they have to renew.
It has to. The fanfic community, I'm sure, is already very busy, but we need an official season two.
Oh my God. I checked the, because I was interested, and I checked the AO3, and there's like 4,000.
Oh my God. Some of the fan art that I've seen on Twitter, incredible.
It's really good.
Like, yeah.
So what did you think, Jen? I already know what you thought.
Yes, I loved it, obviously. Like you, Sadie, I didn't get started on it till I remember reading about it when it came out. But I wasn't super I thought that it would be fun, you know, and maybe I would check it out at some point. But until it got far enough in that people started posting about the rom-comness of it all. And that it got super gay. And I was like, okay, now I'm intrigued. And it really is. Like, you wouldn't think – the first three episodes are fun, but they sort of set it up more like a What We Do in the Shadows. Like, you think it's just going to be a silly – these unconventional people as pirates, you know, getting in and out of these – bizarre scenarios. And throughout that time, Blackbeard is seated in the first episode, of course. Like, they're both thinking about each other before they ever meet, Steed and Ed are. Because Black Pete, specifically, he calls himself Black Pete because he claims that he formerly worked for Blackbeard and he's trying to style himself in that, you know. Oh, bless his heart. He's one of the crew members who's trying to be very bloodthirsty at the beginning, but then when he realizes there's a better way to live life, you know. But it's a really beautiful, you know, the rom-com moments they give you, like the where we kind of like skimmed over in our summary of you know, the parts where Ed and Steed are falling for each other, they really do. They give the fanfic community so much to work with. The scenes that they have between each other, like, incredible. And also it's a, I don't, you know, this is a very, very queer show. And it's also a show that's specifically about masculinity in so many ways. You have both Steed and Ed are feel like outcasts and feel like they don't fit in on different ends of models of masculinity. Steed is he's kind of a feminine froofy guy, you know, and so he's rejected in his own, you know, in his home culture. His dad always tells him that he's not good enough. He's bullied at school. So his fantasy is that he's going to run away and become this big, bad, super masculine pirate, like that's going to help him be able to respect himself. But what he actually does is when he can't change who he is, once he becomes a pirate, he's not going to become a killer, you know, so, but he ends up finding a new and different way, to effectively, you know, live with his own masculinity.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, Ed, opposite end, he's put on this whole, for survival, he's created a whole persona where he's this very vicious person, in a really affecting scene where he's crying to Steed at one point because Izzy and his crew are telling him that he's going to have to kill Steed, that he's become a bit of a pet to him and he's going to have to put him down. And he can't bring himself to do it. And he admits to Steed that he killed his father, his abusive father, when he was a child. And that's what sort of set him off on this path. But since then, he never has actually killed another person. He can do quite cruel things. He maims and he orders deaths here and there all around. But he says, like, he always outsources the job to somebody else. But so he's put on this cover of hyper efficient, you know, cold, unfeeling masculinity, sort of. And Steed allows him to actually get in touch with his emotions. And that's why it's so devastating when he thinks that Steed does reject him and leave, but changes his mind later. And then throughout the crew, there's all these, I guess that it feels weird to say this because, you know, it's not like that we're dying for a lack of representation of men in media, but it's such a different way of, like, it's actually looking at their personalities and emotions and how they deal with this interpersonal conflict and how they're all different human individuals. And that's so sad that that does feel revelatory, because I feel like, you know, in a different pirate show that, you know, hasn't happened, I can very easily see them just sort of subsuming everybody into the kind of the Blackbeard persona type of thing, like just making them all badasses in different ways, or just showing, like, when Blackbeard is getting hammered on this show, a lot of times it's very clear to see that that's a trauma reaction, not like a badass, mm-hmm. like, oh, the way to deal with your problems is just to drink liquor and fight, you know? So, just on a lot of levels, so well done. And it's a fucking comedy.
it's genuinely funny. And then it
breaks our hearts at the end. God.
You are so right in that sense of, like, Steed leaves in order to, like, he thinks he's going to, like, fix himself and become this kind of masculine that he has always thought that he should be. But in that, he somehow finds someone who, like, enjoys all of him, you know, like every time Steed kind of reveals this new thing about himself, Blackbeard's like, fuck yeah, like, this is phenomenal. Like, this is so cool, bro.
He first boards the ship when Steed is still unconscious, and he finds Steed's little model ship of his own ship.
He's like, look at this. He's like, this is fucking fascinating. This guy,
losing his mind about it. This guy's got a library of books on the sea. Like,
I thought it was very funny where, like, Steed and Ed both think that the other is, like, really badass, which is really funny. Yeah. Like, in the first episode where Steed meets Blackbeard, Blackbeard's like, look at all of these books right by an open flame on a wooden ship. This is, like, this is insane. And, like, that's his idea. Like, that is a type of crazy that Ed has never seen before. You know, like, he's used to the swashbuckling and the pillaging, but, like, this is, like, a whole new level of just, like, madness.
Bananas.
And so, very good. And, like, normally shows that are predominantly masculine, like, there's only a handful of characters who aren't men. And normally that would bother me and I'd be like, come, like, you know, but in this case, this is such a refreshing portrayal of men and, like, the complexity and the nuance of that. And it's also so queer, both in sexuality and also in gender and, like, the interesting takes on gender that I'm just like, I love it. Like, I don't care at all.
Yeah. Same. That's what, like, yeah. It's just feels weird, but awesome to have the opportunity to be so enraptured by a show that's pretty much all about men.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot to, I would text Sadie and Samantha a bit while I was watching. After I started watching the first episodes, my brain was doing that thing where it's having conversations without me, and I'm just kind of listening to them while I was making dinner that night. And I just was imagining a scenario of somebody walking up to a couple and saying, so which one of you is the Steed and which one of you is the Blackbeard? And, like, yeah, it's fun and to watch, and you can identify with so many aspects of all of the characters, not just Ed and Steed. But yeah, this is a show about men, and it's, you know, Steed is kind of a effeminate, but he is definitely, like, he's a man, but I identified with him so much throughout this, and it brought me a lot of delight on screen, just not only in my marriage, but in a lot of my friendships. I feel like I am kind of a frilly, frivolous person who attracts these mm-hmm. hyper-competent people who for some reason like my brand of, you know, butterflies and glitter. And that's something that I feel insecure about, is not being as, you know, kind of on the level of competence as some of, like, but that actually reminded me. Yeah. And, like, well, Samantha is not here to try to butt in or make. Samantha is our Blackbeard. She is our Ed of this podcast for sure. That scene where before realizing that Ed is Blackbeard, where Steed's all like, oh, like you like the library? Wait till you get a load of this. And he shows Ed that he has a secret hidden entrance into a closet of all these, and Ed's eyeballs are popping out of his head. Like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, that was like actual footage of the first time Samantha visited me. And I, like, she probably won't remember saying this because she works too much now and it's flattening her brain. But she opened my tights drawer and saw how I had them rolled into little balls and organized by rainbow colors. And she was like, you're so organized. And the way she looked at me when she said it made it like the best compliment anyone has ever given me in my life. And that was that moment in the closet with Ed and Steed. So yeah, I found a lot to, Sadie, I'm sure that you as well found a lot to relate to with Steed. And I am quite sure that we have some Blackbeards out there listening as well who would see it the other way around.
It's so perfect to see a couple portrayed where, like, they don't make assumptions about each other, which I think is one of the things that they really, that really draws them to each other is, like, you know, in when they first meet, Ed picks up that, like, fine silk scarf and Steed is just like, oh, are you a fan of fine materials? Like, I don't, it's assumed that, like, no one has really asked Blackbeard that because, like, of course he wouldn't be. Of course he wouldn't, like, find things like silk, but like Steed doesn't care about that. Like Steed sees what he sees and then he's like, oh, are you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, and on the flip side, Ed doesn't see Steed as weak or ridiculous, or he finds him very charming and competent and brilliant. Like there's so many points where Ed is just like, he genuinely thinks that Steed is like a good pirate.
Which is, he just has an unconventional approach in many ways. When we were talking about Steed getting stabbed, getting run through so many times in this show, they have a scene with Ed and Steed where Ed is giving Steed sword fighting lessons under the moonlight, of course, and it's absolutely fantastic. But he manipulates Steed at one point. And I think also he's very interested in Steed being able to survive too. Like he's starting to get more attached to him by this point. So he wants him to learn, you know, these life lessons he's going to need out here. But Ed has Steed run him through with the sword, which Steed obviously does not want to and you know, refuses to do. And there's kind of an intense scene where Ed pulls a gun on him and forces him to do it. But through this, Steed learns how to get run through with a rapier, which he actually had earlier in the, before they met when he was being hanged. But he was just fortunate to have survived that time. But anyway, Ed teaches Steed how to kind of dodge and take the sword point with the right part of your body where it's not going to hit your vital organs and you'll be able to survive. So there's an awful scene after when Ed Blackbeard fails to do what his remaining crew wants and to kill Steed because he realizes that he's too attached to him and he's falling for him. Izzy Hands decides to take things into his own hands and duel Steed Ed is pacing, he can't bring himself to look. Because he knows Izzy's, he says like, oh, he really knows his shit, man. Like he's going to kill Steed and he's just, he can't fucking.
Yeah.
I feel like if Izzy had killed Steed at that point, that Ed would have just fucking lost it and killed him. Fortunately we don't have to contend with that scenario because Steed, who does not of course have the dueling skills of Izzy, manipulates himself into a situation, where he lets Izzy stab him through and dodges so that Izzy's sword will get stuck, and Steed wins the duel
by default.
So, yeah, just their different varieties of problem solving. And God, Sadie, like you said, that the way they take each other at face value, both men's real nemesis in this show is these scenarios where they're put into a culture where they have to follow specific rules that are not right for them. And your failure to, you know, successfully manage this performance is what, you know, so both of them, like Steed's whole life. And then, when Blackbeard as well, when he's pretending to be Jeff the accountant and they go on the fancy ship for a party, when he cannot, you know, it brings back all the terrible trauma of his childhood and not getting to be a fancy person and not, you know, being who he wants when he uses the wrong fork, you know, and they all reject him because of that. So they both have so much trauma about being rejected from these, you know, these societies that can't accept them to be the way they are. And so that's why it's so healing for them to take each other at face value.
God, this show is so good.
It's so good. God.
There's something about it. Like, I just could not act normal after I watched this. And I think that it's just because it is so romantic in not a surface level, but like such a bone deep way, which is what I love about it.
And that's why the ending was so affecting. Oh, to give a shout out to like the two women characters that I can recall being in the show at all. It's kind of funny though that then in this show they let the side women characters who aren't in the show very much get to be the stone cold type of badasses that men usually are. We have Spanish Jackie is Leslie Jones, is amazing. She is to be extremely feared. She runs like what, like a pirate bar on this like lawless pirate land, and like everybody has to respect her. She starts out with 19 husbands, I think, or maybe 18 because one had been murdered, and I think she's down to 17 by the end after Jim gets through with some of them. But and then the other character, the other woman character that we get to spend any time with is Jim's grandmother, who is a nun who had devoted her life to the worship of Christ and into training Jim to be the world's greatest assassin to take out the people who killed their family. So,
and also like Mary is like a stone cold motherfucker.
Yes.
Like seriously, like, she was going to stab him in the ear with an ice pick.
God. Oh, and then it's I'm leaving out Mary, who, of course, like I was just thinking of them as Spanish Jackie. And yeah, Mary was, an ice pick. She tried to put up with it and get along with her life. But then when she decided what needed to be done, there was going to be no smothering with a pillow. She was just going to make it quick. She didn't want him to suffer.
And I think what's interesting with between Steed and Mary is like they don't know how to chase after their own happiness because they've been told for so long, like, yeah, you guys are just going to be happy together. And so like it just wasn't an option for either of them to be happy elsewhere. And so like them learning how to love other people, you know, so they separated and then they found like, oh yeah, this is what love actually is. And then like them coming back together, they just didn't know how to act. And so I really love that they had this moment of reconciliation and realizing like, you know, I am, you know, proud of the kids that we've created in this. And I'm happy that I was able to know you, but you're not it for me and I'm not it for you. And that's good.
Yes. And it's so good to see like breakups in media are always, you know, and I mean, of course, we're watching these things for entertainment, so it's usually more fraught, or there's a bad guy and a good guy, or somebody, but even though she did try to stab him in the ear with an ice pick, there is no bad guy in this breakup. And I mean, he ran off and abandoned her and the children, so they both are kind of call them even now, I guess. But they're both good people who are just trying their best, and they just are not right for each other. And it's so touching when they realize and can have that moment together and then kind of like be friends working out how they're going to free themselves both from this scenario.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, in terms of other guy, I do want to talk about Izzy Hand.
Yeah.
Obviously not, I'm not going to be campaigning for him anytime soon, but.
So he is in love with Blackbeard, right? Like Ed is all right as the man to, but yeah, he's not in love with Ed. He's in love with Blackbeard.
I think that he is very enamored with Blackbeard. And I also think that, you know, I don't know how long it says that they've been together, but like Izzy has poured a good chunk of his life into Blackbeard. Like the time, the attention, you know, all of this, like, you know, the cost of labor of Izzy, you know, because he has had a big part in creating the Blackbeard persona. And so from Izzy's point of view, you have someone come in who just really distracts, you know, Izzy finds Steed to be an incredibly mediocre man. and he just doesn't understand how this image of Blackbeard that he has could be with someone like Steed. And so rather than accepting like, oh, hey, maybe my friend is a little bit more multifaceted than I thought, or like maybe I just kind of had a wrong idea of who he was, he's like, no, I am at all costs going to correct this and get Blackbeard back to what I think he should be.
And I mean, if they've lived this way for the past, you know, decades, you know, from Izzy's POV, Ed has lost his fucking mind. He was clearly already on a downswing. He was depressed when we first meet him before we actually meet him. He's just hanging out in his cabin, getting high and, you know, being sad. And then he gets interested in the gentleman pirate, you know. So from Izzy's POV, he thinks that Blackbeard is having the mental breakdown when he gets interested in Steed at all, and that he's healed and he's back to his rightful self by the end. You know, like things are opposite town for Izzy.
And so I think that Izzy has a real problem with any relationship that feels like it's on equal footing. Like there was a scene where Izzy was obviously incredibly bothered by Lucius, and specifically Lucius's relationship to Black Pete. And an interesting sub discussion about the show is that the way that racism and homophobia are present, they're not just disregarded or like wiped clean, like a kind of a sanitized view of his, which is fine. Like, you know, it's fine to have historical shows and stuff that just don't have racism or homophobia. Like I'm all, you know, I love,
we definitely need that as well, but this,
yeah,
but you, I guess in a situation like this, it would be very difficult because this is also a show about trauma and coping and healing. Mm-hmm. And if you, so it's not like Sadie said, it's not super overwhelming to where it, you know, to a point that it could be terribly hurtful necessarily to watch.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's shown that it exists just enough that you know that these characters, they do have very real trauma and this is something that they cope with. But it's not kind of like slapped in your face on screen so much that you're like, you know, jolted out of the narrative by it.
And like, Izzy, I don't think that Izzy's homophobic, you know, and I don't think that that's what it was really about between him and Lucius.
Yeah.
But I think that there was this element of like, I can't comprehend someone liking someone kind of more like flamboyant or like, you know, Izzy, like you and like Steed.
It makes me wonder if Izzy kind of had, I mean, he does wear a vest so well. But like Blackbeard, who he is enamored of, he probably, I mean, he is definitely subsumed. You said like, that was so profound, Sadie, that he seems uncomfortable with any relationship that's on equal footing. He kind of feels like he has to be in this dog pack order and that he has to follow these rules to keep himself safe. And men who are more effeminate and flamboyant just, I'm sure that it, like, yeah, like you said, it's not homophobia, but it's almost like, he's like, you're doing this wrong. You're not allowed to be a pirate if you're not being hypermasculine. Yeah. And, you know, like Izzy can't accept that because his entire foundation for his worldview would be shook, you know, would be shaken to the core if he, you know, accepts this, that Lucius and Steed are both living their lives in like a legitimate and valid way, and that that's an option.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like when Izzy kind of tries to get the upper hand on Lucius, and he's like, I'm going to, you know, tell your dirty little secret. Like at first when I heard that, I thought that it was going to go into like a homophobic, you know, route, but it was more so that like Izzy was like, you know, I'm going to tell people that like you were drawing other people naked.
Yeah.
And Black Pete is going to hate you for it because he can't comprehend that like relationships have their own levels of consent and it's fine to have more than one friend. And
yeah, all of this stuff. Possessiveness. He can't envision it without jealousy. And then it's immediately resolved. And Izzy is just like completely flat-footed and doesn't know how to respond because Black Pete turns up and is like, oh yeah, that's fine. I know. I'm totally cool. We're not like that. I'm cool with him doing that. And Izzy is like, whoa. I mean, he just had the rug pulled out from under him because his leverage was no leverage at all.
So, and going to Lucius and also going to our theories about what the finale means and what season two could look like. So I have a few theories and may I present them? And
then please present them, Sadie.
So the first and most obvious theory and the one that I think they're going to go with is Ed just did have a mental breakdown and he's kind of all in on being Blackbeard again. And, you know, that's that. And then Lucius did fall overboard. There's no scenario in which Lucius is dead. I think
there, like,
I don't think
be.
That they would kill him.
He's got to wash back up on that island, right? With everybody
or
else,
or I mean, like as they're rowing back, they like see him like floating, near death.
Lucius is a survivor. All of that crew, yeah. Izzy thinks they're very mid, very mediocre men all around, or even inferior as pirates, but. That is a weird little ragtag crew of survivors on the Revenge. There is no way. Lucius, like, I don't know, spread out those wide pants he likes to wear and floated along like a manta ray or something, I'm sure. Like,
so that's my first concept. And so, like, they pick Lucius up along the way. I would be gooped and gagged if Steed also found the red silk scarf floating.
Yes.
In the water.
Yes.
And picks
that
it up.
Was too symbolic. It has to, oh my God, he's going to like start wearing it on his cravat or something, isn't he?
It has to circle back. And then also, I don't know if you noticed this, but when they first swap clothes, I believe, Ed takes Steed's black like neck scarf thing.
Oh my God.
And he's still wearing that in the finale.
Oh my God. Oh,
he's still wearing it.
I am so glad you told me that because I had not noticed and I have chills.
And also his ring. Ed is also wearing his ring, I believe.
Oh my God.
So there's a lot still happening there. But I think that that would be a great kind of peace offering type thing for Steed to show up with.
Oh,
to show
Steed
this, this red
well,
scarf.
Well, Steed is basically going to have to go on a rescue mission to get Ed back out of Blackbeard, I think, going forward. Because Blackbeard is heartbroken in a way that he never has been before in his life. He really fell for somebody and that he let himself be vulnerable in a way that he never had before. And then he was, because of that vulnerability, he was rejected in a way that he has put on the breakup black eyeliner, like, and then goes and cuts off Izzy's toe. So
it's giving Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road.
He draws his the black beard back on since he's shaved his beard for the act of grace. Like, incredible. That was one of the best up there in the pantheon of movie and TV breakup makeup application scenes. Like, whoa.
It's so good. And I think that in season two, what we're going to get is kind of this like much more stereotypical romance trope that you don't see often in like rom-coms, but you see a lot in like historical romances, of which I've read many, where like there's kind of this betrayal, and then a good like half of the book is just one of the characters trying to prove themselves again to the other. And like in that way, they kind of strengthen their connection. Like,
yeah.
You know, they kind of fall for each other all over again, or like, you know, that person falls for the other one all over again while they woo them. And yes. like in the process of them wooing them, the person that's trying to woo is kind of learns more about themselves and like grows to appreciate the love that they have.
Steed is going to develop more competency, and you know, because he did a few things right in the first season, but he is such a green, fresh little noob, even at his own sort of pacifistic methods of piracy. So I think in season two, and I think that also that would help him feel more worthy to be with Ed, because I think that's one of Steed's big insecurities. And he kind of, you know, Ed does take care of him.
He was so oblivious.
Yeah.
The first time around.
When Ed pops up, when he gets so excited at the end with their plan to run away, and he's okay, meet me at this time. Like, what? Well, where are you going? Oh, I've got to go steal a boat and do all this stuff. And you know, like,
don't worry about it, honey.
That like glow on his face when, yeah, that reminded me of my relationship with Justin. Like, oh, you just nap for 20 minutes, and when I get back, we'll have it all ready with some like absolutely insane plan.
I think and I hope that that's where season two is going to go, because I think, I believe that David Jenkins mentioned that he feels like three seasons would be perfect, kind of like a full arc. That's what he has in his mind. And I think that that would fit really well with that timeline of like, we have had this romantic, you know, we've had the break in tension with the kiss in episode 9, and then we're probably not going to get that again until like the end of season 2.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that kind of slow burn of Ed having, you know, Steed proving his love to Ed, which I think will be very fun to watch.
I'm so excited. That's my first
theory.
Tell me more.
Well, this one, I was just on like, what is this? My 9th rewatch? I don't know. I was watching the final episode again, and there's the part where, so it's a very popular theory that like, Lucius is somehow like holding on to like the barnacles or something. It's kind of a joke, you know, that he's like holding on to those barnacles.
Izzy tried to bully him into, you know, using typical pirate methods, and that just doesn't work on Lucius. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of like a popular kind of jokey theory. But when Ed is asking Lucius to transcribe like this whole thing, he keeps mentioning like, hold on, holding on, don't let go.
And oh my God.
He mentions that it's for someone else and not for him. And we thought that that was Steed, but is there a chance that he's kind of, that he has this planned? And so, cause I mean, Ed has been around as long as he had. Blackbeard has become as prolific as he has for a reason.
Yeah.
It's because Ed is very smart. And so it could be that he's trying to trick Izzy. You know, like, I don't think that he really would suddenly become so callous as to kill Lucius. And there's a chance that he did.
And he still, well, he does a lot of fucked up shit, but he doesn't kill. So that would kind of, throwing him overboard is like sort of a, like, kind of a death sentence, but then like his hands are clean, you know, but
yeah,
that was okay. To make a broad generalization that obviously does not hold true everywhere because, you know, we, the two of us present on this podcast today, as well as our absent co-host, are all queer women. And two of the three of us are not super into body horror. But as a broad population, queer people love some fucked up horror content.
They fucking do.
Sadie, we are the little frilly outliers on this one. But I was just thinking about how much Samantha would love that scene. That, like, I don't know. Like, Ed has gone back into Blackbeard. Izzy has really hurt him. Both Steed and Ed have somebody say basically their worst fears about themselves out loud to their faces in that final episode. And so when Ed decides to go back to being Blackbeard, Izzy is asleep, sleeping soundly like a little baby. And Ed fucking cuts off his toe, puts it in his mouth, and holds his mouth shut while he makes him chew it up and swallow. And like, to me, that seemed like a weird little love letter to queer people who like watching fucked up horror content.
Yes. And I don't think that it, so if my second theory somehow is true, right? So like Ed hasn't directly caused harm to anybody else. Like if Lucius is indeed holding on, if, you know, he did maroon the crew, but there's a chance that he was expecting to come back or something. I don't know what that would look like. But the only person that he's actually caused like bodily harm to is Izzy, the one person that he knows wants it.
Yeah. Like, it was like, very like sexual sort of like, whoa, in that scene. Like he was just like looking into his eyes intently, making him eat his own toe. And it
like, yeah, is while this what bed, you want?
Yeah. Like, whoa.
Yeah. And so it's like Ed, and it's kind of a, maybe a, you know, like this is kind of what Ed's past relationships have looked like. Like they've always had this like edge of like danger and fear and, you know, live fast, die hard kind of thing. So like Steed is the first example of someone who doesn't represent that.
Oh, it's exactly like, okay, so when Jack shows up, fuck Jack. I hope he dies in season two. He kind of, Ed goes back into this sort of like meeting his old college buddy boyfriend, you know, like they turn into real bros. They're acting in ways that Steed finds very unappealing. You know, on top of a little bit of latent jealousy about the history between them. And they're on a beach at one point, and they're all like sort of like gross, like cockfighting. They have like a tortoise and a crab, and they've got a knife tied to the tortoise, and they're making them fight. And Steed is like, ugh, you know, and Ed just kind of falls into that because that's how things are with Jack. That's how they throw coconuts at each other's heads, and they, you know, do these kind of cruel games of one-upmanship. And that's kind of the tortoise with the knife and the crab, that's sort of their relationship, you know? Like, and when Steed looks at that and just his lip curls up and he says, that's just mean. And I think, and that makes, you know, when Ed fears that he's more like Jack than he is like Steed, that's when he decides to leave temporarily before he comes back to rescue Steed from the British. But yeah, there is no way that Ed has ever experienced the sort of tenderness and appreciation of fabrics together that he has with Steed previously.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, Jen.
Oh, let's see. My God.
What else are we going to talk about with other guys? Yeah, Jack, asshole. Izzy, asshole. I don't know if they're going to do kind of a redemption arc with Izzy or what that's going to look like, But
yeah, he's still kind of a fan favorite in villainy. Yeah. Like he's sort of the love to hate right now. I am interested not necessarily in a romantic connection, but in what is going to happen. I was reading an interview with Vico Ortiz, who plays Jim, and they were saying that they're interested going forward to see if there's going to be more interaction between Jim and Izzy, because they haven't, you know, they haven't had a lot of direct interaction on screen yet. And what Vico's point was is
fascinating.
Jim is the most competent person on the Revenge. Izzy is the most competent person on Blackbeard's crew. And kind of what is, you know, they were saying that Jim kind of has some daddy issues. Like, would it play out sort of like that? And, you know, like a mentor mentee figure, will there be a rivalry? Will there be, you know, I don't know, a spark of attraction there. So I'm very interested to see them interact and to see how that might change either of them. Would Izzy sort of like pull Jim farther along the path of like, you know, being a bad person? Or would Jim, you know, be able to have an influence on Izzy? Like, so I really hope they get into that.
Yeah. That is a really good point. And now I desperately want that. I think it could go in a few different ways too. Like, I, you know, because Jim to me is all in on Oluwande. And so from that perspective, right, like, I think that Izzy, it may be good to see someone who, you know, Izzy respects to some extent, or like would respect, or like is the most competent person on the ship. And they're also like, no, get me back to my partner. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about you. I don't want any of this. So like seeing that maybe come into play could change Izzy, because Jim is not someone who's connected to the Steed, Blackbeard, Izzy, fucked up triangle.
Yeah. Jim you know? Kind of has their own thing going on the whole time, because they're on like the classic revenge arc. They're in hiding at the beginning because they murdered Spanish Jackie's favorite husband. And that's sort of the,
yeah.
But Oluwande, it's revealed like Oluwande knew Jim before they were Jim, you know, before they had kind of come into and come out as themselves, and, you know, we're still using their dead name. And Oluwande has loved Jim this whole time. Like, it is like, he loves Jim for who Jim is, and they're beautiful. And Oluwande is kind of, he's the one who gives Steve the sort of what turns out to be a weird pep talk at the beginning, but you know, about Steed not being cut out for this life or whatever. And Oluwande is like, yeah, man, you realize that most of us aren't in this because we want to do it. Like, this is our only option. He's a much more gentle figure and kind of gives Jim that love in a way that, like, the Steed, you know, allows Ed to feel softness. Oluwande is that person for Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point. Like, if you think of them as like foils with each other. And I think that also Izzy could see a lot of himself in Jim. And so like then seeing Jim's devotion towards Oluwande may affect him a bit.
I can see Izzy thinking that Jim's relationship with Oluwande is a liability. Like he was saying to Ed Blackbeard that, like, no, you can't, you wouldn't let us have pets because you said that that makes us soft and we won't be able to, you know, and I can see Izzy certainly feels that way about Steed and Ed. And I can see him thinking that he's doing Jim a favor by, you know, splitting them up with Oluwande.
And I don't think that Jim would fall for that in the same way that Blackbeard has, because Jim is such a conviction.
Jim is super independent minded. They operate on their own convictions, not on pressure from anybody else, except a little bit from Nun Grandmother.
So it could be kind of that, like, you know, Jim is kind of going to act as Izzy's arch nemesis in season two and kind of be like this similar but opposite figure in Blackbeard's ear of, like, you know, like,
Oh, Jim. My God. Now that you said that out loud, there absolutely is going to be a rivalry. That Izzy kind of thinks he's top dog and that he's bringing Jim on as a good asset, but Jim is going to become the right-hand man, so to speak. Wow. Oh, amazing. I'm also eager to get to see some of the characters who are just sort of were humorous background figures, but didn't get a lot of devotion to their own arcs. Frenchie in particular. Yeah. And since Frenchie is still aboard now Blackbeard's ship, the Revenge now, I'm really interested to see Frenchie's story expand.
Yeah. Because I really like Joel Fry. I think he's a really fun and dynamic actor. He was in Cruella most recently, I think.
The Dalmatian murder classic, Cruella.
And I feel like he brought a lot of like complexity and intrigue to kind of a cartoon character.
Yeah.
And so I think that he could offer a lot in season two.
Yeah. And again,
with Oluwande in the episode where they go on the French ship.
That was hysterical. Like, so fun. They like end up scamming like all the rich white people who are, you know,
the OG pyramid scheme.
Yeah. the Nigerian prince scam. They originated.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really interested to see Frenchie develop because again, just these different men who we watch who have different personalities and different strengths. Frenchie again is one who he's not as, you know, kind of frilly as Steed or as Lucius, but his primary skill is sewing, you know, instead of killing. So I'm interested to see how his role amongst this more traditional crew of pirates, now that, you know, the rest of the team has been marooned and Blackbeard's back in charge, is going to unfold.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm excited for more Spanish Jackie cameos as well. She also has an attraction towards Jim, which like just about everybody is into Jim. When Jim kisses Lucius,
which makes sense.
Yes, Lucius brings back the family dagger and he's all, oh, would it be totally weird if I was suddenly really into Jim and Oluwande is like, ugh. But like everybody's into Jim. Spanish Jackie, I think, would be quite happy to add Jim to the stable of husbands if Jim was interested. I'm interested to see how many husbands Spanish Jackie will lose and or acquire in the coming season.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm excited. And in terms of like, because I am obsessed and I love gay pirates and I just wanted to, I've seen some people on like social media and stuff be like, if you loved Our Flag Means Death, you should try watching Black Sails. Have you tried giving that a watch?
I tried Black Sails and I may have not given it enough time yet. This has been a while back. I was seeing a lot of cool fan art of Black Sails and that's what, but on the first episodes, it was a little bit too much of the serious violence for me to be in the mood for it at that time. You know?
I feel like people are kind of recommending it willy-nilly when they shouldn't be. I personally did not like Black Sails.
Okay.
And was kind of disappointed in, you know, because people were like, oh my God, this is such a queer show. And
going back to it after Our Flag Means Death, it's like,
if you squint, like there's, you know, and I understand that there's like themes of like otherness that you could really connect to, like the queer struggle and like, you know, why a lot of people were driven to piracy during those days. You know, was it just the money or was it also that they did not fit into society, you know, in one way or another? So like there's some sprinklings of that, but like major warnings, like there's a pretty traumatic few rape scenes in the first season.
Yeah, I can't deal with that shit.
And and I just, and like, I know that they were just like, oh, there's quite a lot of queer women, but it's like, yeah, but one of them is brutally raped. And like, you know, the other one is kind of technically bisexual, but they kind of write that off quite quickly. And so I don't know. For me, it didn't hit. And so I think there's probably definitely better out there. And also, if you are in the mood for Our Flag Means Death, Black Sails is not what I would recommend.
Not all gay pirates are created equal and the same.
Just watch the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And that'll get you where you need to go. Go to
AO3. Clearly, there's already 4,000 some works and more in progress. So, well, I'm sure we will keep a steady stream of Our Flag Means Death content going on the internet until the second season arrives.
Oh, I'm so excited for season two. I need it to just be renewed already so that I can sleep at night. But right. I mean, it's one of the most popular shows on HBO Max, I think, at least according to what David Jenkins tweeted.
Good. Oh, good. Because I'm never sure if it's just like my little curated corners of the internet.
I'm single-handedly keeping it afloat by rewatching it constantly.
So, damn. Yeah. Yeah, five out of five flags.
Yeah.
All of the flags. Oh, a charming thing is in the first episode, Steed has his crew. He's put them to work. He's brought out some of his, I guess, his secondary fabrics, his old dressing gowns he's tired of to give them material. And he's having the crew make a flag. And it's going to be a competition that they'll pick the best flag and that will be what they'll fly. But of course, they end up stringing up all of the flags, top to bottom, everyone's. And it's just a great image. And yes, Our Flag Means Death gets an everybody's flag from me.
Our flag means love. I give it like 10 petrified oranges out of 5.
And then we could cut them in half and give one to our daughter to remember us by forever. Or will she cut it in half to give him the other one to take?
Yeah, she cut it in half. So 20 petrified oranges out of 5. I thought this was such a well-done show. I thought it had so much heart and so much comedy. And it had that very specific offbeat humor that Taika is known for, but also is, you know, very fresh and fun, and it's very good. I loved it. I think that it is so unapologetically and thoroughly queer. Like, it's queer even in the ways that it's not overtly queer. Everything about it is queer.
God.
And I think that it's worth the watch just for that.
Absolutely. But, it got an article on Lainey Gossip this past week from their movie reviewer on that site, Sarah. She wrote about the first episode, the first 3 episodes, I guess, is what she had screened when it came out, and wrote, but came back and had to add, like, wow, I did not realize that this show was going to turn into the most beautiful rom-com of all time in episode 4. And but they were lauding it for being, I think they said, like a shot across the bow in the face of queer baiting. That any other show, see, because like Black Sails getting, you know, praised for being such queer representation when it's really just probably some loaded glances where, you know, fanfic writers can get their imaginations going from that. But after Our Flag Means Death, they have just like really put up the cowardice of everybody who is, you know, kind of relied on a few longing glances to be supposed queer representation now. And it's not a very explicitly, I could have done with some more hot and heavy makeouts and sex scenes in the kind of lighthearted, you know, spirit of the show as it is. Like, they keep most, with the exception of Izzy's toe, most dramatic violence is kept off screen, and the sex happens, you know, pretty much just off screen as well. But it's just such a beautiful, fully rounded and realized representation of a whole bunch of queer men interacting with each other and coping with scenarios and trying to deal with their trauma and learn about life and love. Highly recommended.
So, Jen, what ships should listeners pillage for our podcast? Is that how Samantha does it?
Well, they should start with the Spanish Navy and the British Navy, because they're giving our boys all kinds of trouble. Stressful. No, if you would like to fuck those guys, like really fuck them. I'm glad both the Badminton Twins died. Anyway, you can find us on Twitter at YSSTOG, or you can send us longer form emails, which we do not check very often, but are always delighted when we realize that we have received one, at YSSTOGpodcast@gmail.com. And perhaps most importantly, to keep us in the business of paying to stream all of these movies and TV shows that we discuss for you on the weekly, if you would like to support us at our Patreon, we can be found at patreon.com/YSSTOG. That gets you, the lowest tier gets you access to our Discord server where we discuss things more often. And then we have tiered rewards where you can get cool stuff like themed playlists monthly made by Sadie. And at our highest tier, you can even select a movie for us to discuss on this podcast. We cannot promise we will not roast it. Apologies to our beautiful Noras, whose movies have proved unpopular with us in the past.
Well, listen. It's freedom of speech, but there's no guaranteeing that we're going to like it.
But, you know, everybody listens to hear us, like, hate on things in funny fashions, right? This is probably going to be an unpopular episode because we're just gushing the whole time.
I know. I didn't hate anything about this. But also, we were very smart, and we really had our thinking caps on with this one.
That's right. We are smart and worthy, Sadie. And we may be clothes horses, but people love us, by God.
And now I would like to thank our lovely, wonderful crew. Logan Mayonnaise, Andrew, Althea, Xenolon, Sharon, Justin, Evan, Liz, Brittany, Ace, Mara, Raimi the Void, Heartleaf, Ave with Teeth, Hadass, Ryan, Maddie, and Abby. We love you all so very much.
So much.
Ahoy!
We would fly your flags too.